Good morning and welcome, my friends. It is 9:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's a 9 o'clock stretch. Come on. Stretch it out. It's good for you. Get the blood flowing, especially on this chilly, chilly morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here and coming to us right now, fresh from Florida. It's the Florida Ag Commissioner, ladies and gentlemen, Wilton Simpson. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bob. Good morning.
The whole crowd, the whole team is cheering for you right
all
now.
Us.
I don't know if you heard
all
that.
Us, yes.
That was a hell of an introduction, too, right? That was awesome.
Well, and you deserve it because I heard applause all around for, you know, teamwork done to save Plant City strawberry production. Tell us about it.
You know, that is a great story that really doesn't get told enough. So during the Hurricane Milton, of course, there's a lot of power outage around their area of the state. And a lot of those plants had to be kept in freezers prior to being able to plant them because they have to stay cool so they don't die. And, of course, without power, they were dying. And we did get them generators down there and get the coolers running, which was a pretty big deal. And then one of the second program that really saved the two-part process, part one was save the plants so they could be planted. And then part two was to use the loan program that we set up after Idalia to make sure our farmers had the ability to replant. Ooh. Because know that they had, yeah, I don't know if it was $8,000 or $9,000 an acre in the ground already. Milton comes across and it didn't do 100% destruction, but let's say it destroyed half of it.
Right.
They had to reprocess that property and get it ready to plant. So they lost, in some cases, $7,000 or $8,000 an acre, probably an average of $5,000 an acre across the industry. And so our 0% loan program, which was was available immediately, not like the federal government operates, which may take 4 or 5 years to get to you. We were able to operate in real time and get the type of relief we did through our loan program and then through getting generators to operate those coolers to save the plants and produce. So we were very fortunate to be able to help with that and be on top of it. And fortunately, we got really good results.
Well, and look, you've inspired me. I am going to have strawberry shortcake later today, I think, and I will do it in your honor, sir.
Hey, and that, by the way, that's the state dessert. The state of Florida dessert is strawberry.
I kind of forgot about that, but yes, I believe, yeah. Thank you for the reminder. Hey, let's talk about controlled burns. People are smelling smoke. They're worried. Is this something that's supposed to be happening?
It is absolutely happening. It's starting to happen more around the state. We're very, very proud of our controlled burn program. Clearly, our goal is always to make our forests safer, cleaner, more responsible. And so last year, we're very proud of the fact we had a record year of controlled burn. We did 277,000 acres. Our goal is to do it. You know, our goal has to be based on reality. So it'll be based on, you know, conditions and winds and all the things. But our goal is to do that each year. And what are we doing and what are we preventing? Everyone sees what's happening in California with their just unbelievable what's the destruction that's happening to California based on uncontrolled burns. And so what we're doing, we're preventing a lot of those type of activities from happening because we're doing such an aggressive control burn. And not only are we preventing that, our forests are recovering quicker, our animals have better forests to live in. All the habitat and things that we take care of when we do a control burn, that's what we're getting value out of it. And so we're going to be very aggressive again this year, each year. Every year I'm elected, we're going to be doing very aggressively control burns. And our objective there is to not only save our forests, but make sure that we're preparing, during fire season, which, by the way, will start in 3 or 4 months. We want to make sure we don't get those uncontrolled burns and destroy a lot of land in Florida.
Yeah, we're blessed topographically. We're different than California. They have changes in elevation. They have canyons. It does make it tougher for them, but you're right. I mean, they don't really make much of an effort where they can.
That's what we're saying is that, right, where they could make a difference for themselves, they do not prescribe to those types of, those operations. And it is literally based on, you know, a lot of what I believe is fiction, right? They would they have other techniques, they would say, and those other techniques do not lead itself to the results that you can get with a controlled burn. And you're right, their geography is different, their topography is different, but there are many things. What we're trying to do here is not be like that. Don't put ourselves in, because, you know, we don't talk about it, but the previous 4 years, our commissioner was not as keen on burning, and really brought that program down to 150,000 acres a year, and we were averaging well over that the previous four. So in other words, it is the commissioner has a large effect on, you know, are we doing more burns or less, and we just want to continue to do as much as we can to prevent the very large fire from getting out of control in Florida. You know, we're not perfect. One day we will have a very, very bad fire season that we'll have things get out of control at some level. But we're doing all we can to keep our people safe and property safe and make sure that we're restoring those forests by control burns.
Yeah, yeah. Not a matter of, a matter of when. And then when it does occur, we'll be in a good spot to hopefully limit the amount of damage. Let's talk about rural and family lands. I love that program, and most people have been listening, and they've heard you talk about it, but not everybody. Share what Rural and Family Lands is about.
Thank you for bringing that up, Bob. This is a very important program. We're losing a lot of farmland in this state, and we're losing it to mostly through development, and we're losing it because of greening to our citrus and other diseases that affect our agriculture, and in some cases, we're losing it because we have people in this state fighting agriculture to stay in business. You know, they're pushing us out they're saying that we're polluting the waters or we're, you know, doing bad things. Well, rural and family lands, and I tie it together with the wildlife corridor. We talk about this when I was president of the Senate. We enacted the statute that defined the wildlife corridor. That was something that was one of my top priorities, very important to me. Rural and family lands substantially buys development rights from farmers within that footprint. And so we know those lands will be in perpetuity in farming. Since in the last 2 years, we have went from 60,000 acres prior to me being in office in the Commissioner of Agriculture office to well over 120,000 acres secured today. The legislature has given us $100 million of recurring revenue. We're going to go back this year for additional dollars. And here's the beauty of the program. First of all, in perpetuity, those lands will not be developed, so they'll be used for agriculture. We need agriculture. We need food to survive. And so that's very important. But again, it's part of the wildlife corridor, which three things happen in that wildlife corridor. Animals can traverse the state. Our aquifer gets recharged. And it's where we grow your food. And so if people want to know what that looks like, Google a map. If you're at a computer, Google a map or your phone and of the state of Florida at nighttime, you'll see all the beautiful lights. Everywhere it's dark on that map is essentially the wildlife corridor. And that's not the definition, but that's the definition I give it. And that's where those three things happen. So rural and family lands, we're going to open the program. The reason I wanted to mention it was we're going to open that program again up in a few weeks. If you know farmers in your community that want to apply to the program, now is the time to get ready. And because it'll open for about a 30 or 45 day window, and then we have to do the evaluations and get ready to spend the money. So anybody you know in that condition, generational farmers or just farmers, we're ready to go to work again.
Get them to get in contact with your office. Is that the best way?
If they go on our website and look up Rural and Family Lands, it's a very easy process to start.
We love it. Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, thanks for your time. We look forward to talking to you again fresh from Florida. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bob.
All right. It is 9:16. We're about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. We've got more headlines, more information. It's all coming your way next on 97.3 The Sky. It is 9:21, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes! It's a happy hump day, Trump Day, my friends. I'm Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Poor Greg is cold-blooded by nature.
Yes.
And so these are challenging times for him. Say a little prayer. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to lend him a jacket, but but I do feel for you, my friend. You got, I don't know, are you anemic, you think?
No, I just don't like cold. Never did. I mean, and being raised in St. Louis, believe me, I had my share of it like you did. You
but
know.
Have you always been on what I'd say a little on the, I don't know how you describe it, cold side? I'm a little on the hot side.
Oh, yeah. We're totally opposite in that regard. Yep. Yep.
All right. We'll get with the program, pal.
Sure.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Hey, it's in Florida. You shouldn't be cold, right? That's why I moved from St. Louis, to get away from the cold.
Why don't you give up being cold for Lent?
Can you do that?
Yeah, I gave up Catholicism. You could give up.
Wow.
It's a joke, Father. A
yes.
joke.
Yes.
Gosh.
Man, so sensitive.
Next thing you know, they'll be drumming me out of there.
Mm.
if they haven't already years ago.
Yeah, it could be.
Anyway, oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. SCOTUS.
Yes.
The Supreme Court apparently is going to be hearing about a case. This is, it's not versus Tennessee. I guess it's the U.S. versus Scrimeti.
This is the family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the challenging Tennessee's gender-affirming care ban for youth.
Let me interrupt. I just hate that name. Gender-affirming care. No, it's not care. Anyway, my soapbox.
Well, no, and again, I'm not trying to be snarky here, but what about anorexia-affirming care? Yes,
right,
yes,
right.
Karen Carpenter, you're right. You're a big fat blob. You should continue your hunger strike, you idiot. And here, get on this treadmill. I mean, yes, I'm trying to make a point. This is a person who looks in the mirror and it doesn't jive, their brain, it doesn't jive with the actual image.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we, and if we have, let me know, but why aren't we treating this type of, what is it a dysphoria? I always get that word wrong, but it is this, you know, image that you have of yourself that is just not accurate.
Right.
And so in the biological sense, you know, you look in the mirror, you see what you see, but you also claim you don't feel like you're that gender. You just don't. Mm-hmm. But people who look in the mirror who have anorexia, bulimia or whatever, they don't see an accurate picture.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that? You really do see a fat person. And we look and go, you're Skeletor, and we're being kind. Stop it.
Yeah.
It killed Karen Carpenter, literally. And I use her as an example because, well, she was famous. And if a famous person that has all these resources, something like that occurs there, then you wonder how many people have suffered and what the result was. Well, we know a lot of people, they end up dying as a result of it. So what are we doing by affirming a different gender than the one somebody was born with?
They're doing the exact opposite of what we would do in any other scenario. Oh, you're on heroin here. Have some more. I mean, if you got care.
Doctor, I know I'm 450 pounds and I'm only 5'7", but I don't feel like, I don't feel obese. I don't.
Right.
And so the doctor says, you know what? You are what you feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a double cheeseburger, man.
Right. I mean, that's a perfect
and you don't even
analogy.
Have a, and there's no copay for that either, by the way.
Right.
What are we doing? I mean, can we have an honest discussion about it? These are people that have, it's emotional. It's not a physical thing.
Well, if you remember, they even avoided the real term for the longest time. Then they adopted it, and then they come up with this care thing so they can get their agenda. They totally had to misconstrue the whole problem just so they could push their agenda.
Yeah. It is troubling that, and it's not like they're trying 100 different things to help this person emotionally. It seems like there is, and this is according to people who have gone through it, they fast-track them. They want to get them in as fast as they can for this kind of surgery. And be like, what exactly is your rush to do something that is completely life-altering? I mean, you're taking, in some cases, less time than it would take somebody to choose a tattoo. And in the same era where kids can't take an aspirin on their own at school without the school nurse there and having, you know, stamped approval of the local surgeon general, you would allow them to be surgically changed and manipulated forever? It's just, and this is not, there's no mean spirit here. There's no, I don't, I don't want to see children going through any more emotional pain than life already brings upon you. But if you think butchering a kid up, you're somehow helping them and saving them, I think it's disastrous. I think it's awful. And I hope that, you know, the Supreme Court will, you know, that they will rule accordingly. But, yeah, they're going to be hearing argument, I think, any minute now. Actually, what time is it? 9:20. Yeah, they may have already started court. They are going to weigh for the first time today whether states can restrict access to gender-affirming care for minors experiencing gender dysphoria. That means they don't have, like, an accurate understanding of their gender. They can't relate to their own gender. And that'll be stepping into the politically charged debate over health care for transgender youth. Roughly half of the states have enacted laws that prohibit puberty blockers or hormone therapy for those under the age of 18. And a dispute brought by the Biden administration, three families, and a doctor test whether states cross a constitutional line with regulating medical care that transgender adolescents argue is critical to their well-being. Did you hear that statement? Yeah. That transgender adolescents argue is crucial to their well-being. An adolescent, I can find you an adolescent that says sugar is crucial to their well-being. Playing video games is crucial to their well-being. Staying up past midnight, watching movies, it's crucial to their well-being. That's how adolescents think. That's why they're adolescents. That's why they're minors. That's why there's adults in the room, to protect children. And when we think of protecting children, you don't think protecting them against a surgical knife is protection? Wake up.
That would be care.
Yeah. It is 9:28. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, 15 minutes away from things that make you smile, upbeat positive thoughts. Hang in there. We'll make it. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Yeah, maybe the bosses don't care, but yeah, the people do.
Yeah, about what?
They love them some Bob Rose. Yesterday marked 23 years here at Sky Radio doing the morning show, and I feel completely blessed. And as long as people on the other end of this microphone-y, uh-huh, and this phony at the mic, as long as they appreciate it, uh-huh, and they're showing you lots of love on Facebook, thank you. I'm humbled by that,
and you're only
Craig knows that's
only
that's a very difficult thing for me.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't happen very often.
You're only 14 when you started. That is just amazing. I mean,
yeah,
you
know, one wish. I got a comment from an old friend, Walt, that I worked with, you know, early in my career in Tampa, uh-huh, and the thing about Walt was, he's probably 10 years older than me, but he is the Rob Lowe of radio, if you will.
Oh, one of those guys.
Yeah, just fountain of youth dudes.
Somewhere in his attic, there's like a portrait that ages.
Exactly. So he's like, you know, congratulations, but, you know, don't forget, there's, you know, the next turn is, you know, retirement. You need to enjoy yourself, too, or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, even though I look 30 years older than you, I still got to put in a few more years. And happily, I still love what I do. And as long as folks appreciate it and... Yeah. Corporate still gives me some, beans and cheese to live on. I'll be okay. Beans and rice.
Beans and rice. There you go. Yeah. Little carb, little protein.
How you doing?
I'm good. A little tired. But that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You made the big soiree last night.
Yes, I did.
So
shout out to Freddie Wiebe and the great crew at Spurrier's. They always just take very good care of us.
They do. They do
a wonderful job. Yes, they do.
Yeah, and
so it was great.
And I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry that I missed it because I
ate your steak. So,
not sure that I've missed one in the 23 years I've been here. Honestly, I may have once.
Yeah.
But
when you were younger, you know, Bob, you could stay up later that way. So.
Well, yeah, but also with age comes wisdom. And I'm like, so you decided to have this thing on a Tuesday night at 7:30. So basically, I'd be driving into town. rushing back home only to hope that my eyes close immediately, and then 4.5 hours later, turn around, get back on the highway, and drive back to 40 miles? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I get to bed about 10, 10-ish.
Yeah, but you live in town, so
yes,
for you. And,
yeah.
And look, yeah. and that's a bit of a sacrifice. And like you just said, you're tired.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to make...
And you remember how my brain was functioning before the show, or not.
And
it wasn't.
Look, and I'm not trying to make more of it than it is, but to be on the air doing 4 hours of talk,
yes.
You know, 4 hours every day, 5 days a week, maybe a smarter person can get by with less, but I have to use all 8 cylinders all the time.
This is not as easy as our music radio days.
No.
Not at all. Much more exhausting.
There's no Led Zeppelin record to go to.
No.
There's some cashmere, man.
Yeah, good 7-8 minute song once in a while.
Chill out, man.
No.
Chill out with your rock and roll pirates on 95 YNF. Woo! Daddy!
Having flashbacks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
So far, so good, man. I'm just, really blessed. It's one of those moments where I'm feeling kind of, wondering... what's going on? You know, where am I headed? And all that. And all of a sudden, you know, the good Lord says,
perspective.
You just need to really take it all in for a minute. And you've been very blessed. And of course, he's right.
Well, you know, we were talking off the air this morning before the show. For a lot of folks, there's a lot of loss. That loss happens all times of the year. But when it happens in the Thanksgiving, Christmas season, it makes it even worse. I mean, I just saw a couple of days ago. A guy that was 3 months older than me that I grew up with since church in, like, fifth grade passed away, like, November 23rd. He was diabetic, had a few health issues, and he's gone. Yesterday, a cousin of mine, who I think is probably a year older than me, she'd been dealing with some health issues, and she lives in a smaller town in Mississippi, and I think just wasn't getting the care she needed. In fact, to the point that one of my aunts, who's a nurse, said, hey, you need to go to Memphis and you need to not leave until you get looked at. She passed away yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just like that, totally shocking. And then, of course, you look at the, you know, the radio person from the country station.
Heather Jennings,
yes.
And that made, you know, our local news. She was, unfortunately,
on her way to work yesterday.
Died in a head-on collision on Williston Road. And, of course, we talked all about it from a traffic perspective, not knowing
who
the victims were. And apparently she had her seatbelt on.
Yeah.
And this was near Wakahuda Road. And they had to reroute traffic all morning long. And they transported her and the other woman who was going the other way, and both of them to UF Health Shands, but neither one of them made it.
So sad. So again, that's families that are being affected, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and so we really do have a lot to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
The jobs we do have, the friends we have, the family members that we maybe do or don't talk to that much. We probably should. Maybe some perspective there, in as we look back. I mean, this year has gone by quick. I mean, it's December. We're talking the new year is just
weeks away. They all go by. I mean, it is, and the Facebook, it does. It kind of reminds you, you know, because you get these memories popping up, and it's like, that was 5 years ago. It literally seems like yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And it is. It is crazy. So, yeah, enjoy every minute. And if you have good health, protect it and enjoy it while you do.
Absolutely.
All right, here's a good one for you.
What you got?
Charles Barkley and Mark Cuban. Yeah, they might be okay entertaining on TV.
Yeah.
Both have a knowledge of sports.
Sure.
Maybe they can do a little sports show together.
Yeah, a podcast, maybe.
I got the name for it. I just came up with this. The Shark and the Bark. Dude.
I like that.
Dude.
I like that.
That's 23 years. That's why I'm here.
See?
Shark in the Bark. It is kernels of just awesomeness like that.
They
have
just
kept
roll.
My career alive.
It just flows.
But no, they actually are looking for higher office. TNT sports broadcaster, former NBA star Charles, I will throw you through a pane glass window if I don't like you, Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Thinks, which he really did in Orlando, by the way. Not me, but he thinks he would be a shoo-in if he ran for president. Charles Barkley for president.
Really?
And he thinks that his vice presidential running mate would be far-left billionaire bozo buffoon Mark Cuban.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cuba's one of those guys that just kind of like the chicks on The View or some of these other people. We just wait for them to say something stupid so we can make fun of them, and they never disappoint.
Now Charles Barkley, yeah, he speaks his mind. Sometimes sure you agree, sometimes you don't. But there's definitely a likability there, whereas I don't get that same feeling from Cuban at all. I never.
Yep.
And I can't completely put my finger on it. Of course, the more I hear him talk, the more I dislike him. But, I mean, even initially, right out of the gate, I just never was a fan. And they think they could win. I don't know. You'd have to put Barkley with someone else. Who else would be, like, maybe in that realm or genre that actually, I don't know, could get some popular support? Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be Mark Cuban. Does anybody like him?
See, but see, it's kind of, I see him like the Oprah effect. You've got people, the general public, mm-hmm. who don't fully understand their politics. They like them as a character or a caricature, a personality. They don't know or understand their true thinking process and their political thinking process, because if they did, they would run quickly. I see Oprah on. I'm like, and I see all these women. I'm like, are y'all just a bunch of libs who endorse everything she believes when she's talking about, you know, we're all God, go hug a tree, or are you just naive?
But take a step back. And for those who question maybe Oprah and what she was about and her agenda, I think she ultimately helped a lot of people. I think that, yeah, there was some people over the top follow her every word. But let me give you the final word on Oprah.
Yeah.
And it's going to make her look a whole lot better.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that?
Versus The View. I rest my case, Your Honor.
But with The View. Hold on. With The View, you know what you're getting. With Oprah, you don't.
Mm.
So you vote for somebody like Oprah, and then you get the same thing anyway. See, that, I'm talking from the political perspective.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
I just meant general.
Oprah is an amazing talent. Went from local Chicago TV, worked herself up to that. No, I take nothing away from her politically at all. But politically.
Yeah, you mean professionally versus politically.
Yes, professional versus politically. She's out there.
All right, so we're going to change the name of the show.
Yeah, what's it called?
Our show, Bark and the Shark. We're going to just steal it because they're not going to use it. The Bark and the Shark.
Okay.
So I'll have to be the Bark. Arr!
That means I'm...
Bum, bum, bark, bum, bark, bum, 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 yeah, bum, you're the bum, scary bum, one, man.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You're the sleeper shark. People let their guard down. It's Greg. He's nice.
He's the nice guy on the Bob Rose Show.
And then he rips you to shreds with three rows of very sharp teeth. That is Greg Cassidy, my friends.
Yeah, right.
In a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
You ready for some upbeat positivity?
Might as well, because we've only got so many minutes left in the show.
Let me real quick, though, remind people Saturday and Sunday, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., Fort King National Historic Landmark is going to be open. It is free admission, and they are putting on a celebration that will take you all the way back to the 1800s. Workshops, activities, games, crafts, vendors, food, drinks, more. Bring the whole family.
There you go.
Yep. That's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 4 Clark. Coming up next, things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts that you share with us, brought to you by Robin Larson Dental. Call in now, 877-975-9825. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Ah, just a grinning ear to ear. Life is so good, my friends. We are blessed. It is time for Things That Make You Smile. It's where you share some upbeat positive thoughts with us, brought to you by Robin Larson Dental. Call in now, 877-975-9825. And good morning, Bear. What's making you smile?
What's making me smile is that you beat me to the punch this morning. I get to take part in the reenactment this weekend at Fort King. And I'm glad that you brought it up on your show. But I do want to say, if you meet that joker, Wiley Thompson, be careful, because he'll make you sign a paper and trick you into moving and take your land away from you.
Oh, that's part of the history. If you want to know more, show up at Fort King at the fort between 10 and 3 Saturday and or Sunday, and you'll get the rest of that story.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Mark. What's making you smile?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Greg. No fun intended, but since it's so chilly outside, I just finished a massive batch of chili with all the accoutrements. I tend to go with chicken instead of ground beef, but at least a two-day supply of chili, and it's time for brunch.
Yeah,
well, I got to cut you off with it.
You lost me at Yardbird, pal.
I had 2 pounds of hamburger in mine.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep, it was yummy.
Yeah, it's got to have some beef in it,
yep.
Or... I've had venison. That was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, just kidding with you. Don't go away. The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR, is coming up next.
From way over there.
Allowing Ukraine to use American missiles inside Russia.
The world's on fire right now.
To right here.
We have to get back to a great country.
We have an incredible once-in-a-generation opportunity.
And just down your street.
Safety. And this is about infrastructure.
One weed company wrote it.
Touchdown, Gators!
97.3 The Sky has your world right here.
It blows my mind.
Hear about it first.
The Democrats.
The Republicans.
Isn't it nice to win?
Talk about it now.
Tells me everything I need to know.
The Sky has it right.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Time now for the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. So some soccer players, what they call football over in Europe, got together and they were playing a game. Well, apparently they had a campaign to promote LGBTQ inclusion. And so the captains of the teams were supposed to wear these armbands. Well, one of the players on one of the team, actually one of the captains, he put on his armband, "I love Jesus." And the league was going to punish him, but they decided otherwise. Yeah, because their own rules say you can't display political, religious, or personal slogans, statements, or images. But the LGBTQ thing was okay. Yeah, maybe. Not so much. And there you have it. The armband is The Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great day.